Hello, this is Dave Pablo, and I'm sitting in the studio with Andrew Lynn and Dan Lander, and we are here to talk about winter biking today. So I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves and maybe talk a little bit about what you do. Let's start with you, Andrew.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having us. My name's Andrew. Volunteer at the Troy Bike Rescue, which is an organization right down the street from the sanctuary here. We are a community bike shop. And I'm one of the founders of that project. So,
hey, I'm Dan, also a volunteer at TBR. I'm primarily there on Tuesday nights, 4 to 7, during the warmer months, that is, for holding it down at our youth shop program, where we have an earn and learn program for kids under the age of 15, above 10 and under the age of 15.
Cool. So I think we're going to end up drifting back to TBR in a little bit to talk about some things related to winter biking. But let's just talk about, just to start off with, what winter biking really is. And Dan, why don't we start off with you?
Yeah, I've lived in Troy for 7 years, and I've only had a car for about 6 months, the last 6 months. And so for me, it wasn't really an option. I was just... had to ride through the winter.
That's always very helpful, I think.
Yeah, it's a very big incentive not to have a car to make winter biking a thing.
I mean, the thing that I think about when I think about winter biking, because I've been the same sort of situation where it's just like, naturally I'm going to keep riding. Grew up skiing and snowboarding, so I have this sort of, and you know, I hike and so forth. I get outside in the winter, so if you're someone who's accustomed to the way you dress to stay warm, then, and you're a cyclist, a commuter, it just kind of changes, you know, you just start dressing differently and being more aware of the temperatures and looking out for the forecast and so forth. It can be a hang-up for folks who might, get into biking, commuting in the warmer months, find it really appealing, find the advantages of, not driving in a place like Troy where you don't necessarily need to all the time. And then it gets colder and all of a sudden it becomes less appealing. So what interests me about the subject of winter biking is kind of explaining to people how to, you know, navigate those colder temperatures and, you know, road conditions also, but really just about maintaining comfort so that you can keep up what is a good habit.
Mm-hmm. Statement actually makes me think about how I really look at winter biking, which is it's changed my perspective on that entire season. I think for a lot of people, they dread going outside because they anticipate, first of all, the shock of the cold air, and then they're going to sit in their cold car and they're going to turn the cold car on and it's going to blast cold air at them for a while, and then it'll get warm and then they'll drive and it'll be slushy and gross, right? But with winter biking, I know from experience that within the first block, my body will start going and I will feel awesome. I will feel warm, but you know, the blood will be flowing to my hands, my feet, and it changed my perspective completely on the season. So I don't dread going outside.
Yeah, I've always been someone who likes those elements. So, you know, in some way it's kind of an attempt to spread that love and allow people the opportunity to, you know, not be scared of it and more take it on. But you do need to be prepared, otherwise you can just have kind of a crappy experience and be cold or get wet or worse if you run into bad conditions or whatever.
Yeah, I'd echo so I come from Sydney, Australia, and grew up, and it, you know, there's no such thing as winter biking really. It's kind of like fall or late spring biking here. But for me, it's been a really, really important part of actually just making it through the winter and kind of keeping my sanity. So it's this thing, I don't feel apart from the outside. I don't feel like I'm scurrying between two, warm places, right? I'm like part of the landscape during winter. And that's something that's like, I feel like it has, you know, when I was moving here, I really thought, I was like, well, 6 months of winter, I'm going to have like seasonal depression. And I've never had such a thing. So cool. Feel like, and I really attribute that to just like being out there and being on the bike and being part of that cold landscape.
So let's talk about, you know, for people who've really decided to do this, let's talk about two things, gear and just standard safety practices in terms of how you ride. And let's start off with gear. Andrew, you mentioned that earlier, so why don't we stick with you?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually made a little zine or a little brochure that we used to hand out at the bike rescue a while ago, and I don't have any on me today, but it's partially, you know, dressing in layers, and just, but it's also just being aware of the temperatures. Like, I think sometimes we think, oh, it's, if you're driving or you're just sort of not spending time in the elements, you can kind of wear whatever between, like Dan was saying, between those warm places. But when you're, whether you're biking or hiking or doing sort of, when you're, or working for that matter, outside, because I also work outside in the cold temperatures, you need to just be aware of what the temperature is going to do over the day and be able to have a variety of combinations that can bring different results in terms of keeping your body regulated. Because you can get really hot if you're climbing a hill or something on a bicycle, and that can be just as uncomfortable as being really cold, in my opinion, at least, if you get sweaty and then it gets cold. So dressing in layers is important, like carrying things with you that you might need. Is just a simple thing. You know, if you're riding in the summer, you wouldn't carry like a neck gaiter or something, but that you might not need it when you leave the house, but you might want it later. Gear, when I think of gear, I just think of, you know, a variety of clothing and wearing, you know, either synthetics or wool that like, so such that you're not like, if you wear a cotton t-shirt, which is normal biking gear for a commuter in the summertime, you do that in wintertime, you might get really sweaty and just have a hard time, or you get to your destination and be like drenched in sweat.
Right.
And that would be not ideal either. So
I'd add that, you know, your extremities are other things that really you need to take care with. So I have a pair of ski gloves, which are waterproof. And then I have one or two different pairs of actual like inserts that go into those. So on a really cold day, I've got like a thicker insert that goes in. So my hands tend to get really cold.
Yeah.
I don't have so good circulation. So protecting my hands is like the foremost thing that I have to do to make sure that I'm comfortable on the bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, at some point someone told me some sort of fact, a percentage of like how much heat you lose out of your head. That really stuck with me, and then I realized that it's actually a really useful way to regulate your temperature to simply take your hat on and off, like under your helmet.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting, you know, that's what you use. If you're getting really hot, you take your hat off just for like a little bit, put your helmet back on, obviously. You know, you regulate your temperature interestingly. So yeah. Little tricks like that. I tend to wear a vest because, you know, extremities are important for comfort, but I also feel like keeping your core warm to me always seemed comfortable, and having like movement in my arms available to me.
So and I'll add on to that. I'll just talk about some of my favorite things. A balaclava, which is a little hood sort of thing, is really effective in terms of keeping frostbite out in those, you know, really tough conditions. And then, like you were saying, Andrew, the layered stuff. It's funny how in our era, the layer of breathable technology has really fit in very well with biking in the winter. And then I also have these lobster claw gloves, which, you know, has a something for the thumb, and then your fingers are divided into two fingers each, so you got this kind of alien claw thing. And it's a great glove for winter biking, because you got a little bit of, you know, mobility in your grip, but you're still keeping warm. There's no such thing as truly waterproof, but water-resistant footwear has been really helpful. Why don't we talk about, you know, biking practices? You know, how do you stay upright, and what are you watching out for in terms of black ice or other snow conditions if you're really going to take that on, and other stuff like that?
The first thing I'd say, just, ice is definitely something to be avoided. When I was a bit of a noob to riding in the winter, I thought I could traverse across about 10-yard section of ice, and it was not the case, and I hit the ground really hard. Anytime you see anything that looks like ice, you stop, or you make sure you've got some way of navigating it. What I think is perhaps interesting and important to say is that snow, however, on the ground, it actually tends to be kind of grippy, right? So you can actually ride through a small little snow crevice or something like this. Even with, you know, sometimes I ride like a 23 millimeter tire in the winter, right? It's not ideal, but it's totally possible. The other thing I would say there is that the roads are salted so well around here that like you almost never see ice, you know. Perhaps you do here and there, but in my daily commute, I seldom come across big patches of dangerous ice if you're sticking to kind of the primary roads.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing to be most aware or be aware of is that people, you know, there's always the issue of people in automobiles not being as aware as, you know, we think they should of bicyclists on the road. And that's, I've found, a little bit exacerbated in the wintertime because people are even less expectant of people out there riding their bikes because people tend to think like, oh, it's crazy or whatever. Not even that. It's just like when the road conditions are bad for motorists, then they're concentrating more on driving. So it's putting less energy towards looking out for us. So extra caution towards that is important too. And just being, you know, giving less leeway to that notion of like, oh, they see me, or, you know, under thinking you can telegraph what a driver is going to do. Putting a little even less faith in that in the wintertime, because that's the last thing you want to do is get hit by a car. But yeah, I mean, I've had some ice falls too that are nasty. But part of my favorite time to ride actually is when there's like an inch of snow and, you know, there's no cars out on the road, because suddenly, you know, if there's a snowstorm coming or something, you can go out under the streetlights and just ride in like the snow in the beginning of a snowstorm. That's a really sort of exhilarating time to just be on the street, because there's no one else there. You're like making fresh tracks sometimes, and, you know, not necessarily commuting or anything, but just actually out for an adventure.
That's really beautiful, and it's true. I was going to bring that up myself, but I'm glad you did. So why don't we close on that one? And this has been Dave Pueblo with Andrew Lynn and Dan Lander, and hopefully we can come back together and maybe talk more bike stuff pretty soon.
Cool. Thanks, David. The Troy Bike Rescue is open Wednesday nights, 5 to 8 p.m. for open shop if people want to work on their bikes this winter, and then we'll have expanded hours once the spring comes around, too.